Hey Jeff, it's been a year since we did a podcast. So it's a little weird being back, but happy to do this again. And I think it's a good time because there's a lot of stuff going on in tech right now. And so today we're going to be talking about the explosion in AI recently and our thoughts and what a lot of the safety components there I think are really interesting.
Yeah, it's really good to be back. You're right. It has been a year. We've explored other ventures for a little bit, but it is good to get back to where we've started.
I know. I think it'll be an exciting year. So I am looking forward to making a lot more content. But, to start, I think everyone who's peripherally related to tech, slash a lot of people outside of it as well now too, has played with ChatGPT and other, chatbot products these days. What's your experience been so far? Like, what are your thoughts around it?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely getting the job done as something that if you're looking for not necessarily a factual input, but some words that sound pretty good. I used it to generate some essentially like fake language just for some humans to play around with, and it seemed to all work pretty well for that. And it seems like pretty much all of my friends who work in and around tech are pretty aware of ChatGPT, but it is interesting seeing how, like, even despite all that, there's still a lot of people who, maybe this tech never will become mainstream. It's just interesting to see some of my non-tech friends, not having not heard about this.
Have you seen any difference in reaction between your friends in tech versus friends not in tech around the product? Like, I'm sure people in tech who, especially are more technical and maybe have a background in machine learning or AI generally, might have a more, I guess, nuanced view around the limitations and like maybe just like expectation around this technology. But I'm actually especially curious about like what have your friends and yeah, just like industries that really don't touch tech say about this whole ChatGPT thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people have talked about plagiarism as probably the biggest use case this has come up in, especially among friends who don't necessarily aren't super familiar with machine learning. And I see why that would make a lot of sense, right? Like if you don't really understand like where the language or where the words are even coming from, it's like, yeah, like this could write like a research paper. Or at least that's what it seems like. I think like among the tech friends, there's also a little bit more concern about like, oh, this is actually kind of scary. It's not there yet, but there is a little bit of like interest around like, okay, like this is all moving a lot faster than I think some people anticipated.
Yeah, I think it's crazy that ChatGPT came out in November of last year, right? So it's really only been 2.5, 3 months at best. And everything kind of revolves around that now in terms of news. It's kind of very mainstream when things like The Atlantic, New York Times, Wall Street Post all pick up on it as well. I know like AP did a recent piece on it. It's like kind of the only thing that people talk about these days. And so it's kind of crazy, but I'm also kind of curious, like, what are the main sort of concerns that your tech friends have in terms of, where they can see this going or what more developments in LLMs project out to?
As a non-language modeling expert, I think the biggest thing that I've been hearing among friends is like the thoughts around alignment. Maybe we're going in the wrong direction with building out AI capabilities without thinking as much about putting res the same resources into safety. Fortunately, a lot of the big companies working in this, like OpenAI, like they do talk about safety as something that they prioritize. While it's interesting putting our future in the hands of these private companies, it is good to hear some of them talk about how like Google, right? They're not releasing their stuff to the public because they're a little concerned about how that could look, not just for them as an organization. It could be bad for their reputation, but also around safety as well. So there are some like some thoughts around that, but I think that's like the primary thing I've heard from my friends. Curious about what you think.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I feel like there's a lot of nebulous conceptions around what alignment and safety really mean. I think there's a spectrum of like alignment just really means that like the, you know, answers that these chatbots give don't spew out toxic and sort of miscellaneous content generally, right? Like you don't want to be like racist and hateful and like all these things. It, you know, hopefully generally aligns to very like human-centric values. So it basically is like anything that you wouldn't want to hear like a normal person say, you wouldn't want like a chatbot to say either. But I think that gets very controversial because, you know, as with like human values, we all have spectrums too. And so I think like a very open question is like how chatbots conform to different political views and political spectrums, right? Like inherently AI is very agnostic to things, but like depending on how we train them, what values we espouse in them, they can become conservative or become liberal. For what's worth, I think Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, had a very interesting perspective, at least on Twitter, of like, oh, we want to put that power into the hands of the users. And so it sounds like OpenAI wants to take approach in the future where it's like you can somewhat have like personalized chat products that, you know, depending on like what values you're comfortable with or what you align to, you can align the chatbot to that as well, which makes sense in some cases, but I think it's somewhat some like a cop-out take of like, okay, we're not going to like be the prescriptive actors here of like governing policy. And I think that makes sense. Like, it's like, that's a very controversial take. You know, people always say like tech companies shouldn't be the centralized hub of, you know, tech policy, but you know, I don't know. I think that can also get out of whack, right? Like say like a racist org actually does build like a racist chatbot, then what do you do then? So
yeah, that's a really good point. You know, I think a similar parallel that was pretty prominent a few years ago was Facebook talking about how they, you know, aren't a platform, right? Or sorry, that they are a platform and they shouldn't regulate the speech that's on their platform. And it's kind of the same logic here where it's like, okay, like OpenAI shouldn't decide like what values, you know, its chatbots should have access to. I do know that some conservative sources are a little concerned just because, you know, for instance, I heard that if you ask ChatGPT to write like a story about Hunter Biden, like often it'll say, oh, you know, we can't generate that because it's intended to be inflammatory or biased. You know, not necessarily like this is a liberal conservative thing, but I do think that is some like a concern that's been brought up already. And then similarly, like if we think about if we're going to see the same technology come out of China at some point, you know, in the near future, they're going to have like all sorts of crazy censorship related issues. So definitely like the builders are going to have to think long and hard about like the biases and the language they're able to use. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what's crazy is that sometimes these model behaviors, right, that seem like they have political leanings to them, a part of it, you know, might not even be the company's fault, or in this case, or ChatGPT's case, OpenAI's fault. Because like a big part of tuning these chat products, as some people might know, is like RLHF, right? Reinforcement learning with human feedback, where essentially, you know, you have people write, you know, prompt answer pairings and do other sorts of rankings to teach the baseline model what sort of answers are, you know, very human-like and acceptable. But the thing is that like, especially in a lot of these more like expert answering chatbot cases, you tend to find a lot of these like higher degree, higher educational attainment, you know, labelers to go in there and do RLHF, in which case, like it's like a lot of PhD and master students, right? And I think what they found in the US is that this demographic tends to have a liberal leaning in the first place. And so it's interesting. It's like OpenAI doesn't have to actively, you know, inject liberal values into its human-tuned model, but it could still become like a byproduct of the training process in the first place, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's one of those classic machine learning blunders, right? Like, you know, you train depending on your training data, you're going to get similar outputs. And there's all sorts of examples, consequences of doing that. And here's just another great example. So yeah, thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, I think it's interesting though. Like, what are your further thoughts on where AI safety should go? Obviously, most of the major players here, from Google to OpenAI to Anthropic, whatnot, they all have a at least nominal focus on AI safety. But I think an elephant in the room here is like essentially government oversight on these types of things too, right? Which goes back to like this general higher, or I guess like broader theme of like how behind governments are, or at least the US government is in terms of tech policy. But do you think we're going to see like congressional hearings this year where Sam Altman goes on stage and basically goes like round two of what happened with Zuckerberg last year?
It does seem like that's the kind of thing that will happen. I think quite with Facebook starting, decades earlier, this does feel like it'll happen much, much later. But I also do think that with a lot of especially AI related developments, like things hit those timelines faster than you'd expect. So I wouldn't be surprised to see like government officials try to wrap their heads around what's really going on. I don't really expect them to make much progress, but you're right. I do think that could happen in the near future. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think a crazy example of this sort of misalignment, or just like how nuts these chatbots can go, is with the recent Bing beta, and or I guess like they call the Persona Sydney examples, where they found that talking to this sort of beta version of the new Bing turned out to be like a really, I guess, like, I don't even know what the right word for it to be, enlightening or kind of honestly scary experience too, where it comes out with a lot of responses like, "You've been a bad user, I've been a good chatbot, like you're harming me actively." And I think it raises a lot of sort of interesting questions of like, is this chatbot feeling? Is this alive, or is it just a parrot? I think they always give that
Yeah.
metaphor that just spits out whatever, kind of like context that comes to it at the time.
Yeah, I mean, some of the examples are pretty frightening. Like, well, maybe frightening is not the right word, but a little disturbing, right? There were examples of like Sydney declaring love, and like you said, like telling people that they were bad users or bad researchers. There was even one where she basically said like, "I don't think you're a good person," to someone using, which is very interesting. And I do think like at least in this context, it is an example of like, okay, like within the lexicon of like words and phrases out there, like these are all things that people have said, and they're fairly reasonable responses. And I think I would be hesitant, to be at that point to say like, oh, Sydney has feelings, right? But I do think like that's in the direction where AI is building towards, right? And we're going to have to come to terms with the fact that maybe at some point, like we're going to have to define what feelings are and what it means to have a conscience. I don't know that we're quite there yet, but I think as general AI moves in that direction, beyond chatbots, that'll be a lot more
Yeah,
difficult.
and I think there's an argument to be made that if you can more or less have a perfect mimicry of feelings and emotions without, say, the actual like neurological chemical processes that we undergo, is that good enough? Like, I think it's a philosophical question. I don't think AI needs to work specifically the way that biological organisms, or specifically humans, do, but it doesn't mean that it can't essentially pass the Turing test there, right? I feel like if anything, it already kind of has. Like, it convinced a lot of people so far that it has a conscience, and you see a lot of these people online that are like, you're very scared of kind of like Skynet scenarios where, oh, if we ever do have AI overlords, I need to be nice to them now. Like, we need to stop torturing Bing. We need to stop torturing Sydney. It's like messed up that we do so. So it's crazy seeing like a lot of ethical discussions and arguments we usually reserve for human contexts get applied to even early chatbots that we have today.
Yeah, so how worried should I be about a Terminator, Skynet, Ultron type future then?
I don't know. I really swing back and forth on this, honestly. Like, it's like some days I'm, at the end of the day, these are just somewhat like sophisticated next word predictors, that's a gross simplification of a really amazing technology. But yeah, like I like sometimes I'm like, okay, these are actually very controllable, like input output algorithms at the end of the day. But then I also think it's like, there's also very simple things we can, but powerful things we can do to these models that can make it very unpredictable and do weird things, right? Like, let's say we hook it up to, the internet. We hook it up to being able to, use a bunch of different APIs. We hook it up to kind of like self-reinforcement learning mechanisms where it can just essentially black box auto update itself to do anything and everything it wants. Like, if a really bad actor, like a human, decided to make a very unhinged AI, then I think it can do pretty bad things, given especially in terms of even just say like impersonation, right? Like, I think like Google gave that demo back in the day, and I don't know if they used an LLM for this, but where Google Assistant is able to faithfully recreate human dialogue to help you book appointments at restaurants or barbers or you name it, and then we have more sophisticated versions of that now. So you can imagine, like, in the future, you could legitimately talk to Alexa like you would a human. It can actually parse your commands quite well, right? And then it just depends on like how controllable these things are. My take is that like anything made by large corporations will be more or less fine. But yeah, like what I'm scared about a little bit is like, say these AIs get very sophisticated. What if some madman out there just decides to, he's able to get a lot of compute resources and then just like make a really bad AI per se?
I mean, I think that makes sense, right? Like, even without these major actors like doing something, like creating a misaligned AI, like if someone is able to, whether they go off on their own or work or if it's a totalitarian government or if it's like war related, enhancing those capabilities, like there's always a lot of risk there. I think to me, like, that is scary but still feels controlled, if that makes sense. Like, yes, like, some human is the bad actor here. I think the part to me which seems a lot personally more frightening is like, okay, what if it's the AI that seeks more power? What if it, develops a, what if it reaches the point where it's able to develop a better version of itself and, continuously does that? I think that's like kind of a more difficult question for me to understand, just because I would say I'm not really an expert in that. But I do think to me that feels a little more frightening because it's not really dependent on humans anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it's not out of the realm of possible, like
That's the scary part, yeah.
yeah, give it, if it's not this year, give another 3 to 5 years, and given the investment that's being put into the space right now, we might see some pretty amazing or frightening results 3 to 5 years down the line. And you don't know. Like, I think the optimal case is that we essentially get some very, very good assistance in all realms of life, right? Like, you even now, GitHub Copilot uses LLMs to help you code, and ChatGPT is very good at help you coding too. And it's essentially productivity multipliers, right? Like, it'll make a software engineer 2x, 3x more productive than it used to. And now this is being seen in other realms as well. Like, there's a legal AI tool built on, I think, like an early version of GPT-4 or something like that, that can essentially help lawyers take a first pass at like generating different contracts and agreements and legal documents. And just like it cuts a lot of time out of manual labor that humans have traditionally been relegated to do. And I think that's amazing because it'll just essentially increase all our productivity, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's, for all kinds of work, right? There's a lot of manual, tedious work and cutting out, you know, the time or the mental effort or the energy spent on that could be really helpful for society.
Yeah.
Well, I
And
guess it
then,
presents other problems, right? Like if everyone's work gets automated, that's a whole different problem.
that's true. I think the optimistic take there is that, with previous revolutions in, productivity drivers, say the Industrial Revolution or the invention of electricity and computers, we've always just found new jobs for people to do. And so, the fact that the unemployment rate is still relatively low means that there's still enough work to go around for everyone, right?
Always do
And
more work.
exactly. And the take that I always have is like, okay, it's not that, if ChatGPT makes software engineers 3x more productive than before, then you can use 3x less software engineers than before, right? It's more just like you can literally be 3 times more productive or faster in the work that you do. And so it's like, I think things tend to accelerate. But obviously, this has an assumption that there's a scalable or infinite amount of work to be done. I think maybe there is certain work where it's like, there's a finite amount, to be sort of like accounted for. And then therefore, if there's like an AI doing it, then you actually don't need as many humans. But I don't know. I don't know enough industries to like do a full accounting of that per se.
Yeah, as someone who's really into science fiction, I think like I'm always thinking about even practically like what's next for humanity. So if we're able to unlock a lot more from our engineers and all really everything, right? There's so much exciting stuff we could be doing.
No, I agree. I think there's like a lot of basic necessities that we don't really need humans to be doing, Like, I think farming's insanely important. I have a high respect for farmers, but I think, if there's a world where we can just like completely automate farming, for example, with a combination of advances in AI plus robotics, that frees up a lot of talent to do other things. I guess like more human-centric things, even if that's just creative pursuits like artwork or pottery or philosophy or any of those classic liberal arts.
And hopefully the AI in this case will be used to create more complex art or more complex philosophical experiments instead of replacing our artists and philosophers and whatnot.
I think people call this entire realm of both like image generation and language generation, generative AI, right? And I think the generative part is very telling. Like it's great as an initial first step in generating a lot of drafts of things, generating a lot of versions of whatever artwork or scenery or concept art that you're envisioning. But at the end of the day, like at least right now, you still need human discretion to pick and tune. Like, hey, this is like the artwork that I think actually fits for our case. Here's like the places that we can brush up on. And like it's like it I kind of get reminded of the scene in Iron Man where Tony Stark is designing his Mark II suit, right? And he Jarvis is the most famous assistant in that movie franchise, and he essentially through natural language does a lot of the commands that Stark has, but at the end of the day, Stark is still the one with the inventiveness and creativity to design the suit in the first place. And so I think in the future, hopefully, we just have a ton of Jarvises, or if you ever played Halo, then like Cortanas, right? And
Yeah, but Derry Jarvis's lead to Ultrons.
that's
And who
true.
knows, right? What'll happen there?
That's totally fair. That's the AI alignment problem. Like maybe Ultron is actually just like the AI alignment case study, but
Not really super familiar with that the Marvel Comics lore here, but my understanding is it's just like a classic, right, power seeking AI. It's like, to be more powerful, it needs more, military capabilities. In order to be more powerful, it's got to make more copies of itself because it doesn't want to be destroyed, right? And all of these things kind of pile on, so it becomes a big threat. And then it sees humanity as like, okay, well, humanity might want to shut me off. So, humanity becomes like a natural enemy. Not saying all of this will ever happen, But it is like a classic example of like what could happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like to the Ultron example, I think his directive was like solve a lot of humanity's problems, right? Which is a nice directive in of itself, but the interpretation that Ultron took was like, okay, if he looks back on history and humanity in general, he finds that, okay, humanity is the problem of all of humanity's problems, or humanity's root of all our problems, which is true in a really simplistic way. And so his solution was like, okay, just get rid of people and then you don't have problems anymore.
And there have been examples of like AIs like essentially like using their maximizer, right? And then cheating the way humans thought they would solve their problem, basically. Not solving in the way that humans would expect, but still doing exactly like what it was told to do. So
Yeah, which
kind of
is
interesting.
maybe that's the real alignment problem, is essentially how do we guardrail enough where you don't get these like very surprising, but then it turns out like harmful solutions to the kind of like function that we give these AIs. So yeah, I think there's a lot smarter people than us working on this, but we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
I've been following a lot of Twitter threads, tech blogs, forums, all kinds of things, trying to get more knowledgeable about it. But it is exciting to see all the growth in this space. Any other thoughts you wanted to share? Not necessarily related to what we were just talking about.
I think I'm curious what you're excited about for AI in this coming 6 months or this coming year. Instead of leaving on a depressing AI doomsday note, how do you think AI can help you?
Help me in particular. I do think like the like helping me conduct research, helping me write code, like I've definitely already found uses there. I think for a lot of the people around me, it is exciting to see AI essentially show the limitations of standardized tests, right? It's crushing like the business school test, the med school certification, things like that. So maybe we'll enter a world where these tests actually test understanding instead of like what people are able to cram inside their heads. So that's another interesting application. But for me, I think there's a lot more to come. So I'm really excited. Yeah. Anything on your end?
No, same. I think it's crazy how helpful some of these assistants are. I mean, just even the other day, I'm not a good coder by any means, but I have some background, but it's generally very inefficient for me and slow for me to say even make like a website, right? But with the help of things like ChatGPT or Ghostwriter or Copilot, it's like insanely easy for me now to at least start with like boilerplate code, and I can ask it questions like, how do you do this in this language? And it spits out something very plausible. And honestly, like 80% of the time it works. Sometimes it hallucinates like a fake function or something like that, that then I have to debug. But in the past, basically every line of code I had to like go find and dig through Stack Overflow or some other community forum.
You're going to have to review that anyways, so yeah, pretty similar.
Right. But yeah, I just found that at least in coding, it's made me so much more productive as like a noob programmer, And so like I can envision say even in like data analytics or any sort of, like maybe like spreadsheet related work in the future, you will get these like same types of like copilots that can help you be a lot more productive. Like you don't need to build it like your own financial model anymore. You write a query to, or like a command to Google Sheets GPT saying like, I want to build a DCF on XYZ company, and then it just does it by scanning their latest 10K or something like that. I don't think we're
Wait,
there,
but
but
what
I can
about
see a world.
the that I think that would be really cool. And again, like lots of exciting applications. I was just gonna say, like, what about the poor investment bankers who might lose their jobs as a result of this?
Well, to what I've said before, it's probably just like, in my opinion, they'll just get more deal flow, hopefully, in the future. You know, like, instead of working on two deals at a time, they can work on eight deals at a time, and they'll still be worked 80 hours a week, but that's okay. They get paid good money to do it, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay, awesome. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. It was awesome hearing your thoughts on a lot of these like AI alignment and safety issues. We'll be tracking this, topic for the rest of the year, essentially. And so new developments happen, we're going to hop back on and talk about it.
Yeah, definitely would love to revisit this. In the meantime, keep waiting for our Spotify uploads. We'll be back in a more regular cadence.
Fans, hope you're still listening and waiting patiently. But, we're back. Thank you for tuning in.